This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, May 13, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Michigan's county fair operators are preparing for summer crowds. County fairs are a nearly $1.5 billion economic engine for the state, and as WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, it's issuing grants supporting fairground improvements.
According to the Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions, the state's 86 county fairs draw 4.5 to 8 million attendees each year, contributing approximately $1.4 billion in state economic impact. The Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development is supporting them with $525,000 in grants, funding infrastructure improvements at county fairgrounds and livestock and commodity expositions. MDART is awarding $507,000 in county fairs capital improvement grants to 8 exposition operators, including 3 in West Michigan. The Ottawa County Fair is receiving nearly $12,000 for electrical service upgrades supporting 4-H activities, improving power stability for livestock areas, campers, and vendors. The Montcalm County Fair Association is receiving almost $30,000 to upgrade the fair's public announcement and security systems. And the Lake Odessa Civic and Agricultural Association is receiving $100,000 for livestock facility upgrades. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids Mayor David LeGrand says people need more places to play with their dogs, and WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the mayor is proposing a dog park within walking distance for every city resident.
I think we should have a dog park within 10 minutes of where everyone lives because it's a big desire out in the community.
During the COVID pandemic, Grand Rapids Mayor David LeGrand says pet ownership increased 30%, and people moving into apartments and condos in the city need a convenient place to walk their dogs.
We're going to have more people living in buildings where they don't have green space at all. Our current model relies on you stuffing your dog in a car, which is never fun, and driving to a dog park, of which we have 2 or 3.
We're continuing community conversations for dog park opportunities throughout the community.
Parks and Recreation Director Laura Claypool says dog parks are planned at McKay JC and Hartside Parks and could be included in the design of some future projects.
While there isn't an intentional plan, it doesn't mean that a dog park won't be rolled into one of those park projects.
During a review of the proposed new city budget, Mayor LeGrand suggested the Parks Department could use some of their appropriation to create areas for dogs inside existing parks.
I think virtually every park we have potentially has space for one. I'd love a vision where you can actually walk to a dog park wherever you are in the city.
I'm Phil Dawson.
A Lowell fisherman lands a record-breaking gizzard shad in the Grand River in downtown Grand Rapids. As WGVU's D. Morrison explains, it highlights a unique migration pattern.
While searching for bait fish along the flooded banks of the Grand River, angler Cedric Nienhaus spotted unusually large gizzard shad pushing up into the shallow shoulders of the river. He landed one, certified as a new Michigan record by Department of Natural Resources fisheries biologist Matt Diana, weighing 4.45 pounds and measuring 20.3 inches long.
Most of these big gizzard shad are Lake Michigan fish or living in the lower Grand River. This time of year, they tend to push up as far as they can, so they were congregated below the 6th Street Dam in Grand Rapids, where they can't get past that point.
Gizzard shad congregate in large schools and are considered filter feeders with some unusual features.
They have gill rakers, which are basically bony structures in their gills that strains the water. It allows them to eat that small food. And they have kind of a unique structure, a gizzard structure, kind of like birds, where it grinds up that material and allows them to digest it.
While native to the Great Lakes and major connecting rivers, Diana warns gizzard shad can be invasive in inland lakes. He notes, despite the recent record breaker, there are likely even bigger ones in the Grand River. I'm Dee Morrison.
Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel is urging seniors and family members to be vigilant against fraud. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more on scam warning signs in recognition of Older Michiganians Day.
In recognition of Older Michiganians Day, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel is urging seniors and their families to be vigilant against fraudsters by learning how to recognize a scam. She's also highlighting the work of Michigan's Elder Abuse Task Force. Attorney General Nessel in a news release says, quote, "Our Consumer Protection Team and Elder Abuse Task Force have resources available to help Michiganders stay a step ahead of bad actors. I encourage everyone to learn how to better protect themselves and those they love," end quote. Common signs of scams include when residents are contacted out of the blue with an urgent request or pressured to act or respond immediately, among many more. Common scams targeting older Michiganians include toll or ticket scams, grandparent family emergency scams, as well as phishing scams. To avoid becoming a victim of a scam, consumers should block unwanted calls and text messages and avoid clicking on links from a company they believe could be a scam. More than 100,000 older adults in Michigan are victims of elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation. If you need elder abuse resources, you're encouraged to call 1-800-24-ABUSE. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A Gaslight Village project in East Grand Rapids was unveiled Tuesday evening to the city's planning commission. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, the developer revealed the plans despite a pending lawsuit to stop it.
Developers Gaslight Investors presented renderings for Phase 1 of the Gaslight Village project to the East Grand Rapids Planning Commission. The first phase calls for three new buildings with 40 residential units at 515 Lakeside Drive, near the intersection of Reeds Lake Boulevard. The proposed project has been met with opposition from some residents concerned about the project's size, traffic and parking, and lack of green space. The residents suing the city want to put the project to a public vote.
Several people have asked how this matter is up for consideration tonight when there's a lawsuit pending regarding this development.
That's city attorney John Huff. Despite the city previously stating it was pausing any project approvals until the court makes its final ruling, Huff says litigation does not suspend matters in dispute.
That choice to proceed is the developer's choice, not the city's choice. The risk here is on the developer. If a court subsequently intervenes or makes a ruling that's contrary to the developer's interest, the developer is the one who's spent the time, interest, and expense of proceeding.
According to lawsuit organizer David Decker, the case is currently in discovery, with a September 16th deadline for either party to file for summary disposition. Gaslight Investors say construction can begin once the city approves the project. A public hearing has been scheduled for June 9th. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. Michigan's clean energy standards would go away under bills passed on Tuesday in the Michigan House of Representatives. Colin Jackson has more.
The bills would repeal a law passed in 2023 to require the state to rely only on clean energy by the end of the next decade. Republican State Representative Dave Preston says that forced transition has made power less reliable and more expensive.
We've really lost our sense of priorities when it comes to what's important for ratepayers in Michigan, what's going to keep the lights on, and what's going to keep it affordable.
But Democratic House Minority Leader Ranjiv Puri says going back to fossil fuels, especially as gas prices spike, won't be better than nuclear, solar, and wind energy.
This bill package aged very poorly for them.
The bills now head to the Democratic-controlled Senate, where they'll probably stall out. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
A Michigan Court of Claims judge has blocked spending on two minor league baseball parks that were part of the 2024-2025 state budget while a legal challenge plays out. The Mackinac Center for Public Policy filed the lawsuit. It says the spending items required supermajority votes under the Michigan Constitution. Mackinac Center legal director Patrick Wright says it's been a long-standing practice in Lansing to use workarounds that avoid specifically identifying pork barrel projects in the budget. This is not a final ruling in the case, but Wright says it should serve as a warning to the legislature as it crafts this year's budget.
So hopefully it'll be a cleaner budget. I necessarily believe that that would lead to a smaller budget. Some might disagree, but I do think that's the case. And we should see a little bit cleaner budget process.
The Michigan Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity declined to comment on pending litigation. Independent candidate for governor Mike Duggan says he will likely choose a running mate who doesn't have a background in politics. The former Detroit mayor says he has been meeting with people from across the state.
I want somebody who has accomplished something in their life on their own, not necessarily a political person, but somebody who's accomplished something in business, education, nonprofit world, starting a company. I'm looking for somebody who's not a traditional politician.
Duggan says he could take until the state deadline of September 1st to announce his pick for lieutenant governor. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. This afternoon, in our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Crane's staff writer Mark Sanchez about the return of Howard Miller, what the expansion of the Meyer Sports Complex brings to the local economy, and a UK firm expanding into Grand Rapids, valuing it as a Midwest tech hub.
It's not just becoming a tech hub, but there's a much broader thing at work here, which is, you know, over a decade, maybe two decades, Michigan trying to become much more diverse in the economy instead of just relying on the auto industry and manufacturing. So you've seen a lot of universities with their tech transfer labs, their business accelerators, their business incubators, much more support out there for entrepreneurs starting companies and startup companies, especially in the technology space. Now comes a story. This is maybe one of those questions about how far we've come or how far yet do we still have to go? I did a piece this week. It's a company based in England in the UK. It's called Hatch Oxford. It's based in Oxford, England. They've opened an office here in Grand Rapids in the Bamboo facility on Fulton Avenue. And Hatch Oxford basically works with companies and universities and university spin-outs and trying to commercialize intellectual property and innovations coming out of university research labs. And again, they've set up a base here in Grand Rapids to break into the U.S. market. Basically, how they connected here with Michigan is there's a big battery show each year in Novi. A number of years back, these folks attended that show because that's part of the area where they work in that type of technology. And they just started exploring and learning more. And what they found is, you know, the industrial Midwest, we're pretty darn good at making things here, engineering, designing, prototyping, manufacturing. And so they've been wanting to get into the U.S. market and do what they do here. And they kind of see Michigan as what they describe as the Midwest Silicon Valley for technology development, that there's a lot of innovations here at the universities. And they want to get into that game here in the U.S. and become part of that ecosystem here in Michigan. So again, it's named Hatch Oxford, and they've set up an office here in Grand Rapids to begin reaching out and working with universities around the state and the Midwest.
There's so much that goes into making these decisions. What kind of support systems have they identified to really help them launch and to grow in the state?
There's so much more going on today, and not just Michigan, but many states. You see just about every university has some kind of a tech transfer office where students, faculty, researchers come up with an innovation. How do you get it to the marketplace? How do you build an innovation into a business? You know, we see that up on the hill here in Grand Rapids with Michigan State and its research center and business incubator, and the Michigan State University Research Foundation has probably a couple hundred small startup companies in its portfolio that it's working with, it's nurturing, helping to network, helping to access capital, helping to vet the marketplace for their innovation and develop that innovation into a product or service in the marketplace. And that's what they saw as they came to Michigan and started learning more about the state. In a couple of areas they're working on is to cite one where they're working with a company in England, and part of their mission is to perhaps they can find an innovation here in Michigan that a manufacturer in England can build, or there's an innovation there back home that they can bring to the U.S. and commercialize and a manufacturer here in the U.S. can produce. And one of the companies they're working with back home helps clean up wastewater from copper mines. Well, we have a few of those old copper mines in the Upper Peninsula, so they're exploring that aspect. Again, it's another organization that wants to become part of that entrepreneurial startup innovation ecosystem here in Michigan, and they really see this state as the place to start in the U.S. market.
Earlier this week, up near Rockford, Plainfield Township, they cut the ribbon on the $13.5 million Meyer Sports Complex expansion project. A big deal, not just for athletes, but for the area's economy.
Yeah, you know, this youth sports, and Patrick, you know, you've been involved a little bit in youth sports. I know you're a soccer coach. This is big business around these parts these days, and the West Michigan Sports Commission does annual economic impact analysis on just how much is it. And this project alone, this expansion of this sports complex up there near Rockford, is going to add about $1 million to that economic impact. Just to take a look at the numbers, the complex has attracted about 200 weekend travel tournaments and events. month. That's about 8,800 different teams, 287,000+ visitors since the inception many years ago. And that generates about $69 million in direct visitor spending in Kent County for hotels, restaurants, shopping, and other things. So you've seen this $13.5 million expansion of the sports complex, and it's going to add to that kind of that sports tourism economy that's been cultivating here in Grand Rapids for a number of years. You know, part of the expansion of the sports complex is the addition of 20 pickleball courts. And there's also kind of new concessions, new restrooms, storage, a new playground area, bleachers, a synthetic turf field installed on one of the championship baseball fields, some flex use diamonds for youth and amateur baseball and softball. It was quite an extensive expansion up there. And yes, pickleball courts, because that's the big thing right now.
We're talking with Cranes Grand Rapids staff writer Mark Sanchez. Howard Miller, not so long ago, Howard Miller was calling it quits, but now resurrected. Yeah. Howard Miller is
back. Yeah, that was last August. We all saw that announcement, and I think everybody felt a little sad about it because that is one of the iconic companies back in the Hark and the furniture days of Grand Rapids. It's a century-old company, and basically it run its course, and the family was closing it. And then last week we learned the company has been sold to the Huizinga Group here in Grand Rapids. J.C. Huizinga's investment firm has acquired the clock business of Howard Miller. And then there's another couple of former employees. They acquired the memorial business, basically making urns and memorial urns. So those are two businesses that are going to live. Now, the production facility in Zeeland will remain shut down. Howard Miller for many years used offshore contract manufacturers. The new owners, the Huizinga Group, will continue that. But the business lives on and the brand lives on. So it's kind of a feel-good story to see somebody step in and at least preserve a few jobs and preserve that brand, one of those defining brands that folks remember for many years here in the West Michigan area.
Before you go, Grand Rapids Park Department has acquired 6 land bank lots that they intend to turn into trails and green space.
And we'll see what that develops. Basically, you have the land bank that was formed a few years back. And land banks, generally, they acquire obsolete lots, properties that are just no longer functional, and try to get some redevelopment on those parcels to generate tax base and put them back into good use. Well, these were 6 lots around the city that were considered, that the Grand Rapids Land Bank kind of considered really undevelopable. So they were basically turned over to the Grand Rapids Parks and Recreation Department. And they're in the Oakdale, Southeast Community Action, Burton Heights, and Roosevelt Park neighborhoods. And the Land Bank Authority basically turned those over in December, and now the Park Department's looking at how do we use those. And you're right, some more green space for the neighborhoods, more parks. There's a mention in the story that my colleague Rachel Watson did this week about the potential for one of them to become kind of a community garden. So it's an opportunity for the Parks Department to has some land that it can look at and maybe do some more green space or park developments down in the neighborhoods.
Cranes Grand Rapids Business staff writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, May 13, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.